This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
The 10 terrains of consciousness really are 10 different paradigms. So we've all heard the word paradigm thrown about. What we're meaning by that is that really there are 10 different ways to see the world, 10 different perceptual filters through which you can look at life. And once you have an understanding of these, then it actually helps you to know yourself better. Because as we'll see later in this talk, these 10 terrains exist on an evolutionary continuum.
Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net.
You can start to get a feeling of where you're at right now, where you were, and where you're going in your own evolution, your own spiritual evolution.
Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk about UFOs, Sasquatch, another cryptozoology, ghosts, paranormal activity, psychic abilities, conspiracy, all sorts of fun topics. I am your co-host, Johnny Manson, and she is MUFON investigator Cherie DeSeuss.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
And our guests today, authors and creators of The 10 Terrains of Consciousness, Alan David Reed and Tawny Wolf. Now, Tawny, you're from Australia, and Alan, you're not, right?
I originally was born in the U.S., but I'm now living here.
So tell us a little more about this 10 Terrains of Consciousness.
It's a body of work the book is a part of. We also have videos and YouTube materials for education, a quiz to help you find out where you're at in this process, and we are developing more materials, courseware and such, to go deeper into the work.
Yeah, but the book is really the intro, and it's what we put out first, just to kind of get all our ideas down on paper, and now we're teaching much deeper stuff.
Well, you two have been working together for quite a long time. Alan, you are a pioneer in the field of virtual reality in Silicon Valley, extensive training in applied and quantum physics, and yet you are a philosopher and deeply schooled and studied in divination science and the esoteric Gnostic arts and lots more. That's so impressive.
Well, thank you. Well, I've been kind of walking in two worlds. I'm sort of half scientist, half mystic, and ever since I was young, I've been deep into the sciences, but I've also had a very strong interest in the esoteric and the Gnostic, the secret societies, the mystery schools. Mm-hmm. And when I was probably 21, I read something and said, I want to become an adept, not really knowing fully what that meant. But I guess when you know you say something, it sort of puts you on a trajectory. And so here we are.
Well, it's amazing. And then your partner, Tawny, is a modern Renaissance woman. She has been a corporate lawyer, Oxford scholar, screenwriter, radio show host, and personal development coach, and so much more. And you two have been studying all of these esoteric avenues, like you both read I Ching, the Tao Te Ching, the Kabbalah, the Mayan calendar of human conscious evolution. You two have been at this for a long time.
We have. And I say that I've come from quite... Actually, we're not partners. We're just colleagues. Just clarify that.
Oh, okay.
People always think we're romantic, but we're not. But we're a really great team because, you know, Ellen really does have this background in science and mysticism. I don't really have that. My background's more in human dynamics, psychology, understanding people, interviewing people, personal relationships, personal growth stuff, and spirituality. So... Well, I don't really have a scientific brain. I really understand people and what's the differences between them and how they interact. And so you kind of put these two brains together, and we're both really good at seeing patterns, but Alan sees like the macro patterns of civilization and history, and I see the micro patterns between people. And together we really kept asking, what is under this? What is really under this? What is really under this? And that's how this information started to come in.
Yeah, well, we think, too, that, you know, the spirit, if you will, wanted this work to come through the masculine and feminine, so it's really a co-arisen in the space between us. As Tawny mentioned, we're both very complementary, so it's like two eyes from about as far a vantage point as you can see back to a point. And so we've been quite, you know, blessed to be able to learn this material and really excited to share this with the world now.
Well, I have been very impressed on the videos, the information that I've read so far. I didn't have time yet to read the book, but I'm going to. You share insights with different levels. Each level is like a terrain. You speak about it's okay to stay in one terrain for quite a while, and you might stay there your whole life. That's a level that you're most comfortable and you do the most good for the world. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Really, the thing is, this is a non-judgmental model. Like, we're really putting this out into the world to help people have compassion for each other. Because actually, when you step back and you look at it from the perspective of consciousness, this is like an unfolding tapestry of all the strands are equally important. You know, the kind of so-called evildoers in the world, even at the terrain that they're at pyramid, they're providing a context against which everybody else can wake up and make choices and become empowered. So, you know, it's kind of like if you imagine a street, and if everybody in that street was moving houses all the time, there really wouldn't be any neighborhood, there wouldn't be any feeling of that street. So you need a few people to stay stable in that street, like they're at this terrain their whole life, and everyone else around them is moving relative to them. And it may be that next lifetime, they play the opposite roles and they're the one who doesn't move and everybody else around them moves. So when you look at it from the perspective of non-judgment, you can actually see how the whole thing's playing out for the highest good of everybody.
We are one collective consciousness. And the idea that what we're really looking at terrains here is degrees of expansion of perception, more so than levels. Levels often implies judgments, and so we're really careful to underscore that it's where you're seeing the world from that is where you need to be learning what you need to be learning and doing what you need to be doing. As an example, you could be standing on the ground and you're seeing from one perspective. You could be up in a balloon, a hot air balloon, and see it from another perspective. You could be up on a spaceship and see it from yet another perspective. So that's,
but none of them are better than the other.
They're just different perspectives. And so this is 10 different parallel perspectives, each of which contributes to the whole and are equally valuable and necessary.
I have to believe that my will to be a better person, especially since I've retired and I've had more time to involve myself in my community and take on more responsibilities, that some of it has to be generated by me, that I am more open. I noticed that who I was 3 years ago before I moved to Washington is very different than what I am now. And I took your test, and at this time it said you're probably a circle, and I read the sheet that you sent me that talked about the circle, and it really resonated with me. I really felt that. Can you tell me a little bit more about these tests?
Well, it's taken us ages to develop this quiz because it's actually not, and that's one of the reasons why we wrote the book 5 years ago and we're coming out with it now, because it took time to find a way to assess someone's relationship with reality and actually get past their mental perceptions and where they think they're at and all the stuff they've read in books and all the things they've done in courses and actually where they're at in an embodied way. And we actually had a very long, detailed questionnaire that we used to get people to do, which took hours for people to do and hours for us to assess. But based on everything we learned from that, we figured out how to do a much quicker one that was really accurate based on everything we've learned from that more in-depth one. And so now this quiz is just a really good starting point. For the vast majority of people, it will come out accurate. There'll be a few kind of very eccentric people or slightly unusual people that might need to go further into it. But it's just a really great place to start because you can do the quiz. It only takes 10 minutes. It's quite fun. You get your report and you leave to have the experience you had where you go, oh my God, that's me. That explains so much. Thank God. Now I can start to run with this. Or some people will read it and go, I don't think that's me. I'm going to do a bit more investigation. And then they might need to read the book or you know, sit with it more. And some people read the report and then 3 months later they write back to us go, I didn't think that was right, but now I've realized it actually is. Because sometimes people's filters are in the way and their self-perception is in the way.
Right.
So it's been a fun process for us.
Well, it was an eye-opener for me. I mean, you can really see that you have used all of these teachings of the ancients and the teachings of the brand new individuals that are doing these sciences right this second. I could see, I'm a scientist and also as sensitive. So I totally know what you're saying about trying to put both minds together. And I could really see how much in depth you went to get it accurate, to use the latest science with the ancient science. And it's not that different.
No, it really isn't. They're really saying the same thing. But what's interesting is that all through history, through all of the religions, all of the mystery schools, they've all been dancing around this. But what this really is distilling is what scientists would call Occam's razor of consciousness. This is the backbone. This is the most elegant, simplest continuum. And what it's really looking at is on one extreme, you've got infinite consciousness, which is what we already are as one indivisible being. And then you've got degrees of separation from that. If I were to use this rubber band, it's the charge. It's the amount of resistance and separation that keeps you from that. You already are that. And you already are this infinite consciousness. And when you get to be neutral and you get to be surrendered, that there's no charge, then you are back at that point. What these 10 terrains are degrees of separation based on trauma, based on stories, based on conditioning, based on culture, and we each sit in one of these positions based on how much charge we have in our collective, in our individual field. If you look at the quantum mechanics of it, you're basically a bundle of charge. It's an electrical universe, if you use that model, and so that bundle of charge is holding you someplace. And if you're being held there, the key to your healing, the key to your growth, is to look at, well, why am I sitting there? What am I holding on to? What am I perceiving? What is there to be learned here? And conversely, what am I to give from this place? And as you then resolve that and let that part of you go, that bundle starts to shrink a little bit. And naturally, because it's a self-healing universe, because it is one integrated being of consciousness, just as our body heals, we're healing ourselves back to that which we already were. And so this is the mysteries being taught in the most elegant and simplest possible way.
And also, I'll just add on that, but a lot of the like great religious teachers and mystics, like they probably were at toroid or infinity, when you know, the fractal-based terrain or the unity-based terrain. So they're speaking from toroid or they're speaking from infinity. They're not actually aware that everybody's at all these different places. They're just speaking from where they're at. So they're speaking the deepest truth. But what we're doing is looking back and going, okay, that's actually where they're speaking from. They're actually speaking from that terrain.
Right.
That's a very different place from where other people are speaking from. So we're not so much teaching the content of the great spiritual teachers, because we'll leave them to teach it. They're already there. They can teach it. We're just explaining why they're seeing the world that way and why these people aren't seeing the world that way. I'm trying to use this sign.
I see it like a journey. I'm taking a journey to be my best self, to be able to give back, to feel like one with everyone. And I'm actually starting to feel that way. And I never had that disposition.
Part of what you're talking about finding out that you're at Circle, for those who haven't read anything about this yet, is the connection-based terrain. And that is one of the biggest jumps, the jump from the reflection-based terrain diamond to the connection-based terrain circle, because it's actually the jump from head to heart and from fear to love and from looking outwards to looking inwards. And people at your terrain, they're very much connected to the web of life and connected to the oneness and connected to each other, and it's all about love. And it's just such a beautiful place to be, and it's such a different place to be if you've come from the previous terrain. I mean, some people are born at Circle, but most people aren't. Most people who are at Circle now have come from Diamond. So it's a humongous shift.
So anyone can take the test on your website. It doesn't take that far, you know, very much time, but I really like that it gave you a choice between two answers. You know, you either feel this or you feel this. I really like the way that came together. It seems to be in sections, the way that it collected the information. And I could see all these different traits being folded into the quiz. So I would really tell people, take the quiz, see where you're at, and see if it resonates with you as much as it resonated with me.
And that's really what we're encouraging, that's the starting point for moving into this material, is that you just get a sense of yourself. Because like you had indicated, this is our spiritual journey. This is our spiritual evolution in a map, in a model, in a very simple way. And so we're encouraging people to learn about yourself, get to know yourself, because that's really know thyself is sort of one of the mantras of the mysteries. This is the fastest way to get a sense of knowing thyself and where you're in relationship to consciousness and reality. And then from there, you can start to unpick and unfold why I'm here, what I need to know, what I can offer. And that's, you know, a huge concept. contribution to your evolution. We're just dropping you right in and getting you on your way.
But also find that if people come in first and understand themselves, and the natural question that comes next is, okay, what terrain is my husband at? Or what terrain is my mother at? Or what terrain is my colleague or my boss at work? And so then people start to ask, you know, their friends to do it. Or if their friends don't want to do the quiz, they just read more and learn more and try and guess right. themselves. Because once you understand where you're at, you really get that. And especially if you've shifted, then you will have a really deep understanding of the previous terrain because you've already lived there for a number of years or decades. And then you can see why you're no longer seeing the world the same way as the people you used to hang out with 10 years ago. And you meet up with them and you're like, wow, I've really shifted. You know, but if you're in a really deep relationship, someone like a marriage or a colleague or your family, and they are at a different terrain from you, it can create a lot of conflict. I mean, obviously personality differences can create conflict and lots of things can create conflict. But we found that many people understand that already. They know my father's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. That stuff's well known, but people don't know that they're actually at a very different place in their spiritual journey and their relationship to reality is very different. And that can actually cause some really big conflicts. And we're seeing it in the world at the moment in how people are reacting to COVID and just generally everyone's like, oh my God, I can't understand why everyone's not seeing it the way I am. That's because they're at actually a very different terrain.
Right.
These are parallel universes, and each one has its own, like, colored glasses through which it's seeing the world. And so you could be sitting next to someone who's seeing it through a completely different colored pair of glasses, and you're seeing literally the same thing but two different things.
Yeah, and so if you understand it, you can start to resolve conflicts a lot easier. Even if the other person doesn't know their terrain, just you yourself understanding where that person's coming from means you can communicate in different kinds of language, and you can really speak to things that make that person feel safe at their point that they're at in their journey because you understand that, and then the conversations become easier and there's a lot less conflict. So that's one of the reasons why it's really exciting.
Well, it is, and on our planet, we have a diverse amount of spiritual beliefs. I studied them all because I wanted to know what they were all about. You know, I find it easier to communicate with people that study a certain spirituality because I know where they're coming from. But you not only encompass everything, but you also encourage people with their spirituality inside and outside, like how to present it and also what they are. I found that really interesting because I'm different, like probably you are. There are different spiritual levels, I would think. I think it's going to help me with that communication with people. What do you think?
Well, I would absolutely echo that. You're right. You've got, say, bookends for each of these terrains. It's very symmetrical in how this model works. At infinity and at radial, you're dealing with faith. But the difference is faith from within and faith from without. At infinity, you're basically co-creating your reality. You're creating your reality from within, and you have faith in your connection to your infinite self. At radial, you're outside of yourself, but you're in a place of devotion, and you're essentially in a place of deep reverence to that which is you outside of yourself. So there is only one of us here, if you listen to what some of the masters would tell us. And so how you're relating to yourself, whether you're relating to yourself outwardly, with devotion to the great truth, or if you're literally within yourself connected in, you're doing the same thing. There are different avenues. There's the same circle. You're either coming at it this way or coming at it this way, but you're still getting to the same place.
The difference is that if someone is at radial is giving their power up to something outside themselves, that's where you see really fundamentalist religion where someone is like, we'll do anything that the church leaders tell them because they believe it's coming from their God, and they'll do suicide bombing and they'll really extreme behaviors are seen at that terrain, right? To see someone at infinity who sees that I am God and everyone is me, they can't possibly do anything to harm anyone because they would be harming themselves. And they're so in every moment connected to the divine plan that it's just that they show up like in almost the polar opposite way. But both of them are actually really completely being run by faith.
I find myself leaning towards vegetarianism and away from being a carnivore, which I was my whole life. To see anything hurt or injured just kills me inside. These are not basically new feelings, but they're more profound now. Do you feel as one with individuals that are less fortunate? I find myself giving more and helping more. Are these all signs of circle?
Yeah, I was just thinking you're like the poster child of circle. Because a circle, it's very much about a deep connection with life, with all creatures, and particularly with the vulnerable members of society. So at Diamond, you'll get a lot of people vegan, vegetarian, but they're doing it because their mind has read stuff about it and knows it's healthy for them, or there's a belief that it's good for animals, and it's a philosophy, it's a philosophical choice, it's a belief, it's an ideology. At Circle, someone's going to be a raw foodist or a vegetarian because they can't not be, because their whole being feels the connection to the animal. So it's not coming from the mind, it's not coming from ideology. And so some people, yeah, you know, like that's what you're sharing, and it's really powerful and it's really beautiful. And, you know, I remember my mom, when I was growing up, she moved from Diamond to Circle and suddenly went vegetarian, raw food, and her whole house was raw food, and it was a huge change. And she started picking up little ants when they were in the house instead of killing them. And
like, I pick up spiders with my little broom and carry them outside and go, carry on.
Well, and it's because as you're expanding in your conscious awareness, you're connecting into and becoming less separate from all that we already are. We are every atom in this universe, and every universe, we are everything. And so as you expand into this awareness, you start to feel the pain of the trees and the pain of the animals and the pain,
yes,
of the earth. And you move even further into a multidimensional awareness that goes into the unseen, into a spiral. You get more of an energetic relationship. So it's a continual deepening into yourself with a capital S, which you already are, because you are all of this. And so you're just starting to become more sensitive to and aware of this place in you that when you're more separated, it's kind of compartmentalized. You don't have that tangible experience.
What's the end goal?
There is no end goal other than self-love and compassion for yourself and others. Like, there's not like, I must reach enlightenment and win a prize. Like, there's no like race, and you're going to get rewarded if you shift to spiral or you shift to infinity. Actually, there's quite a misconception out there that if I could just get to infinity, my life would be good. It's actually almost the opposite. It's actually harder and more challenging to be at Taurid or infinity, because you're so self-responsible. You know that everything showing up is a reflection of your own reality, your own hologram, your own wounding, your own charge, your own thoughts. You cannot be complacent. You have to constantly bring yourself back to your center and back to your center. It's a lot more work. And so really, like, the point is that everybody's at the perfect place for where they are. And if someone was to like really go into this terrain, like, let's say they're at Circle and they spent 40 years there and they went deep into that, just think of what they would give the world. I mean, look at that movie Avatar. That's a beautiful example of a civilization at Circle. And we'll go, like, imagine if people really were at that terrain, like, we'd be living in paradise. So there's no need to be at the next one. That's already a beautiful heart-based space that can be gone so deeply into. And your infinite self knows how much time you need to spend at that place. And it may be the rest of your life, maybe the next five lifetimes, it might be the next 2 months. You can't know. All you can do is feel in each moment, what am I being asked to do? What lessons are showing up now? How am I growing now? Where am I at now? And there's an awareness of what's next. There's an awareness of what's happening at Spiral.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
as someone starts to shift towards the next one, that terrain will start to show up in their reality screen a little bit. You might start to meet some people at Spiral. You might start to have some experiences of that. Some teachers will show up. And it's
right.
Starts to become obvious that, oh, come on, I've been using it a little bit now. Whereas when someone's first arrived at a terrain and they're really in the learning of that terrain, that's not happening. They're just learning the lessons of the terrain they're in now.
Now, if you'd like to learn more while we're talking about the 10 Terrains of Consciousness, just log on to 10terrains.com. More with Alan David Reed and Tani Wolf coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor. Thanks for listening today, and we've been talking about the 10 terrains of consciousness.
Because the universe is one consciousness. It is a self-organizing, self-healing system, and just as you were to cut your body, it know how to heal itself. We as consciousness are healing ourselves back to ultimately infinity and nothing from where we came. It
is how to understand yourself, other people, our world. And who better to talk about this with the creators of this system, Alan David Reed and Tani Wolf.
And I would also add to this that there's two pieces that this really can bring to you. One, to remember who you already are and be able to phone home because you realize that's where you're coming from. Then have compassion for where you're at in your journey. And so what we're learning here is compassion not only for each other based on where each of our we're each at in our journeys, but for yourself and where you're at in your evolution. And to not be, you know, hard on yourself or realize there's a gift in that. There's challenges to be learned. There's a reason for that. And to really embrace that, you know, when we reincarnate, we come back to certain places. You could be a master and come back to a certain place just to experience it or to do work there for the planet. So there's no right or wrong or good or bad here. Everything's relative. And it's really having compassion for why am I showing up as I am? Why is my world showing up as I am? And this then starts to unfold an entire mystery school. This is really a mystery school in a very elegant way. At the simplest, you can see a continuum behind me. You can drill down to this thing and you can understand everything going on this planet between yourself, your relationship with everyone in your family and your neighbors and your communities and our nations and the whole geopolitics. I could take the whole place apart just with this model.
One thing I'd like you to take apart is man versus woman, the feminine and the masculine. Where do men sit on these ranges as opposed to women? Is there a balance there?
There's really no difference in the sense that there's not like there's more men at one terrain, there's more women at one terrain. It's just that the masculine and the feminine is playing out differently at each terrain. So when you're at the root base terrain pyramid, there's a lot of power struggle between the sexes and you get a lot of exploitation and sexualizing of people and exploitation. And it's really not necessarily a healthy dynamic of the masculine and feminine. And then you get to square the order based terrain, it starts to be very much role based. The woman is, you know, in the traditionally the woman was the wife and the father was the provider. You start to get much more role based stuff. At Diamond, which is where the culture is at now, the reflection based terrain, this is where it's all being thrown up in the air and we're all deciding for ourselves, what is my gender? I'm gender neutral. I'm gender fluid. I'm choosing this right now. I'm choosing that. I'm going to play with this for a few months. Now I'm going to change my sexuality again. It's all just like a big play of identity and choice because there's no longer being guided by roles and what society tells us we should be doing. Then as you get to circle the connection based terrain, it starts to come back into like naturalness. And this is where I've got a lot of friends at Circle. And I remember when I was at Circle, it was all about like the healthy masculine and men starting to speak their feelings and be more vulnerable and women starting to notice that they disconnected from their heart and they were really in their masculine energy and learning to like come back into their beingness and their softness and be vulnerable. And, you know, there's a lot of people doing men's groups and a lot of people doing women's groups and everyone started to really find like the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine. And so there's masculine and feminine in every terrain, but it's just showing up very, very differently in how people are exploring it and how it's engaging.
Terrains do alternate between masculine and feminine, outer and inner, collective and individual. And so that bears on, at this time we've got the preponderance of the prevailing terrain at Diamond. So you see a lot of women struggling to have essentially identities as men, and they're also suffering the health consequences of not being in their femininity. Breast cancer is a huge epidemic, and other things where the feminine is being sacrificed because of the demands of the terrain as a prevailing terrain and what it's calling forward.
Because
it's a more masculine terrain. So this is a lot of, there's a lot. As you read the book and you look at the appendices at the different tables, you'll start to see the richness in the polarities and in the yin and yang that's playing out through all of this, and it's quite fascinating.
But definitely in terms of numbers, there's equal amounts of men and women. It's just that the energy is different and that's playing out differently.
Okay, here's the big question. Are you willing to disclose what you two are?
You ask really good questions.
For myself, I was born at square with a pyramid moving to square father and square mother. If you look at some other models, the I Ching and my gene keys, my work in this life, my purpose is ascension. I have literally traveled across this continuum now to come to the, you know, spectrum at infinity. So I am very clear to all of this, and it's been a life of deep work on myself, countless sessions of clearing, and I mean, for decades, self-inquiry and study and research, it's all I've been doing, getting to know who I am, what's in the way of myself. So it's one thing to have a understanding of this sort of conceptually or mentally, as you might reading a book or something at Diamond. It's another thing to actually do the work to clear your charge, to come to then be embodied in this understanding and actually then see it play out to where I now have thoughts and the answers are just right there. Whereas before there was some time before those answers would show up. Now it's pretty much the knowing. As soon as I even ask the question, the answer is just already showing up. So it's coming to clarity. It's coming through the process of healing and clearing yourself that then you have that connection into that field, the toroid terrain, to then basically have a connection and an infinity to your infinite self. So it's been a fascinating evolution.
So your gift to the world is you helping others to attain knowledge of their terrain, how it works. Okay, you're up next.
Because for me, I'm so much about human dynamics. I had a different journey to Ellen. I was in a family where everyone was at a different terrain. And they also had completely opposite personality types. So I said, I love them all equally. So I was always like, what is going on? I was always trying to mediate between people, understand it. Like there's a famous example I always tell about my parents. Like one day the remote control for the television broke. And my mom was like, I don't understand. I can't get this to work because I can't connect with 3D matter today. And my dad was like, I can't get this to work because I think it needs new batteries. So it was just like, what is going on? And so, you know, my mom was at spiral, my dad was at square. My mom was at the coherence-based terrain, my dad was at the order-based terrain. But I'm really close to both of them. I'm one of those people who are really close to both the parents. And I knew that they were both equally wonderful, but they were so different. So I started out life already knowing that they were all equally wonderful. So I've never had a kind of feeling of levels about it. And I started life out at Diamond. So I was never at the same terrain as my father. I was always a questioner and like I was questioning everything, and I was in a really square environment and quite a traditional environment, but my mom was always so out there. So I had that as a role model. And then, she shifted through circle and it was all raw foods in our house. And I started doing all the spiritual stuff, just sort of fitting with her, but I still was at Diamond. And then my journey through a big health journey I had moved me into circle. I had a pretty crippling chronic pain and I had no choice to shift because my identity got smashed. I couldn't walk. I couldn't be a lawyer anymore. And I had just years sitting at home staring into space, like, who even am I now without my identity? And I had to sort of reassemble myself from the inside out through finding my being and going deeply into my feelings and my body and into stillness and peace. So I had quite a big journey at circle. But I was always going to probably end up at Spiral to connect with my mum because that's where she'd been at for years. So for me, I then was very blessed to have quite a long period at Spiral with her. And that was wonderful because we were just best friends at such the same page and everything. And then there was a period of time where when this work was really being written and being pulled out of us, I just had this feeling. I didn't actually want to expand past Spiral because once you're at Spiral, you kind of lose interest in moving. You're just like, everything's okay, whatever it is. So there was no longer any kind of desire to expand. But I was really happy to stay there. But I had this feeling that this work is going to require me to shift again, to be able to explain it, to really, really be able to see this, the truth of this, because when I was still at Spiral, there were some bits beyond where I was at that I really only intellectually understood. So I actually have shifted one more time in the last 4 or 5 years into toroid, but I'm still in like the valley of toroid. I'm not yet moving to infinity. I doubt I will, but who knows?
So I understand that.
It's definitely different. Like I remember like saying to Ellen, like, something's changed. And he's like, yeah, you're not in Kansas anymore. And I was like, I know, I don't know what's changed. I had a terrain shift. It'd been creeping up on me for years while we were doing his work. And it was like, it was needed to happen because we need to be able to give an overview of all of this. We need to be able to have actually lived it. It's very different to teach from a place of having actually lived these shifts than to teach from a place of just having learnt about them.
And I would like to offer that when you have a terrain shift, it is a massive life change. Where we're living here, there's a lot of people that have dropped out of the Sydney corporate world and left their friends, left their corporate jobs, left the city, and they're up here working on farms, doing permaculture, getting their hands in the dirt, being really simple. You know, they've been very successful. They just weren't connected to themselves, and so they wanted to get connected back in. And they literally have gone from one parallel universe to the next. Diamond happened to Circle. And you know, it's a story we see again and again and again around here. So as you move across these terrains, your entire reality changes, and the people that you can relate to and resonate with change. And that's why we're anxious, excited to build a community with everyone who has taken their quiz and come into this work. We want to build an online global community so that you can find like resonant people at your terrain, Circle or Spiral or Toroid. And we feel there's a lot of richness that's going to come out of that, because then you can, you know, sort of find your kindred spirits, so
but
to speak.
But also there are some people that when they shift terrain, it can feel like they're going mad. I mean, like their whole relationship to reality changes, the way they see the world, their perception, especially if someone moves from Circle to Spiral, where they start to have really multi-dimensional awareness and they're seeing themselves in different lifetimes and they're sensing energies and they're like, what the hell? And some people can really freak out. And so if they actually have the context that explains what's happening for them, like they've heard of our work or they've read our book or they've done the quiz, then they go, okay, this is normal. Actually, loads of millions of people go through this all the time. It's completely normal. And it just calms people down. We've had so many people write to us who've done our quiz, particularly people moving into Spiral or having already moved to Spiral, saying, oh my God, thank you for explaining this. It's making so much sense. I feel so much better. And how can I meet other people who are at this point? Because I don't know anyone else, because most people are surrounded by people at Square or Diamond, so they don't have anyone. So we are quite excited. Our plan is towards the end of this year to start building some sort of online community so people can find each other. But even without that, just knowing about this, you can start to recognize it around you.
Is it possible to go backwards? The reason I ask is because I knew about energies and speaking with spirits and that at a really, really early age. I have a family of that. So is it possible to have my foot in the water in one and then... I know you're not supposed to be both.
Not in a mathematical sense. If you look at this idea that you're a bundle of charge, you're sitting in one place, and that charge is holding you there. You can, though, from that place, see forward, just as you were standing on railroad tracks. You could see down the railroad tracks to where they converge. So you can see forward and project forward and have a mental idea of that experience. Also, with our culture, you can have lagging behaviors. The two big ones in our culture are behaviors around sex and behaviors around money. And the whole the money is a pyramid creation, and so there's a lot of charge that people have around money. So you could be quite expanded, but then have a lot of lagging behavior around money and be very untrusting and tight, and just, you know, your behavior doesn't match your where you're really at from a place of consciousness. So you can only really be in one place, and because it's a self-healing system, and in this lifetime you can't unlearn what you've learned, you might reincarnate back at a point that's more contracted to where you're at. But as you've learned something, it's like learning riding a bicycle. You're not going to unlearn that, but you might have behaviors that would cause you to sort of forget and not ride a bike so well. Fear being one of them. You might be afraid of falling off the bike. So you know, it's that how the fear takes over. And then of course, now you're not riding the bike like you used to. And it appears like you're going backwards, but it's just really that you've essentially taken on the charge of fear.
And also, like with things like psychic powers, most people have them to some degree innately.
Yes.
So you could be at radio and maybe a witch doctor, or, you know, and you could be at Pyramid and have psychic powers, you could be at Square and have psychic powers, but it's how you're going to use them, it's how you're going to relate to them, where you're going to think they're coming from, like has God given them to you, or, is, you know, like it's everyone's going to see those differently, they're going to use them differently. It's just like intelligence or the ability to paint, like, everybody has that, but they're going to use it. They're going to express it differently. They're going to embody it differently. But one of the things that is most confusing for people when they come to our work is not so much about the psychic powers, because, you know, everyone does have those. It's more about the spiritual ideas. So you get a lot of people who are, say, at Diamond, the reflection-based terrain, which is a very mental terrain, and people tend to learn a lot and study a lot, and they can really identify with certain ideologies. And they might have sat in an ashram for 20 years or read every spiritual text in the world for 20 years, and they have a lot of mental understanding of spiritual ideas. So if they were to look at our website, read our book, they might think they're at infinity, or they might think they're a toroid. But in actual fact, they're not at that terrain. They just have some understandings that someone at that terrain would have. And so if they ever one day did shift to that terrain, they'd be like, oh my God, that was nothing like what I thought it was going to be like, because it was just like a mental understanding. So we have identified that in the quiz. So some people might get their quiz result and they may have a very strong identity thinking they're going to come out of the spiral because they feel like they're doing all this energy work, blah, blah, blah. And then they get a result saying, actually, you're at diamond, but you're what we call spiral aware at diamond. So you have a lot of spiral awareness. You understand a lot about spiral and you'll probably end up there one day. You're probably being prepared for that. And you can probably get along really well with people at spiral, but actually you're not at that terrain. And so that's going to cause a little bit of challenge for you because some aspects of you are here, sort of in your mental stuff is here, but you're embodied here. And that can cause some extra challenges that other people don't have who are more integrated at one terrain. So we're really compassionate about that in that report. And a lot of people have written to us and go, oh my God, I realize now I actually am at diamond. Wow. Thank goodness I found that out because that explains a lot.
Tell our audience how they can get to the quiz, how they can start on this journey.
Go to 10terrains.com, spelled TNTERRAINS. .com, right on the homepage and throughout navigation, it says click here to take the quiz, and you just click on that link and it'll drop you into the sign up process, and it's all automated from there. You'll be given links to go through the quiz and get your result as you have.
Yeah, and it's $5 to do it. And we made it $5 so that we feel like people actually feel like they're contributing to the community we're building. And we give them entrance to the, you know, the newsletter, and they get information about it. And we give them some gifts, and we give them all sorts of fun stuff. And the biggest gift really is to find out your terrain, because that's the biggest gift.
That's terrific. All right. And then, like, my next step is to buy the book and to read the whole thing. What do I do for after that?
Well, what we're working on next is building this community and then developing a course so that people can come in, either if they've read the book or haven't, and go much more deeply into this. And we also will be eventually, probably maybe the following year, creating a training program for people to go really deeply understand this, and we're going to call them terrain mappers. And then they will be people who can go out into the world and actually use this. So let's say they're a counselor or a mediator and they can bring it into their profession and into their coaching of people. Or let's say they're a politician or a political analyst. They can use it to actually map what's happening in the world, and they'll be able to help people figure out their terrain. At the moment, we're the only two terrain mappers, so we have to train some other people to be able to do it. So our first thing is to offer courses that go a bit deeper than the book, and that will be our second thing. So it's all a work in progress. If anyone wants to come along and help us, or fund us, or support us, or give us a cheer on, or encourage us, we're very grateful.
Well, we do, once you've taken your quiz, recommend that you read the report, because the report has been written specifically for your result. Mm-hmm. And so it's essentially looking at the point you're at outward, you know, and looking at the gifts and the challenges and the other aspects of what it is that's happening there. What that will do is give you a very good grounding on your journey and instructions, if you will, on how to move next and where to go. We do, though, recommend the book, because the book gives you an overview, and it's very well written, very easy to read, and very comprehensive, and you'll get a very good understanding. We have people reading it 2 and 3 times just because they realize they need to in order to really grok it, and it just deepens every time. And they're so grateful. They tell, I've heard it countless times, how grateful they are to have read it 2 and 3 times, because it's just, now they see the whole world differently. They get things they never got. It just, everything starts to make sense.
It's certainly done that for us. I mean, since it came through, we got really clear on it. We just like, oh, wow, it's explained so much. It really explained so much. Like, I'm so grateful, just as a student of it myself, even though it came through us, I'm so grateful for it. Because, as I said, I'm always someone who's wanted to understand the differences between people. So, you know, I'm an expert in every kind of system, Enneagram, you know, personality tests, Myers-Briggs, like attachment styles. You know, like, I know all of them in detail, because I really want to understand people. And this one has helped me so much, like probably more than all of those, but they're all important, and I find them all useful. But for me, every tool that enables me to understand myself and have more compassion and get along better with other people is gold. And so, but this one, it's not just that. It also helps things that aren't as important to me but are important to other people, which is to understand politics and the world around them. And so for me, I'm more focused on the interpersonal, but why this model is exciting is it doesn't just help you understand your friends and your family, but you can actually start to map what's going on culturally and globally and in the political sphere and historically. And some people are much more interested in that than in the personal or the interpersonal. And this gives them a really great tool for that, which is pretty accurate, you know.
And we do have a perk that comes with your quiz that's the famous people in history, which you can then start to see these various terrains in the famous people that have been there. And so that gives a real interesting sort of framing of this model.
I haven't read it yet. I'm very interested in reading all the material. So we're going to have you on our website. I have a YouTube of you kind of introducing yourselves, and you know, we're going to put some information on our website. I think our listeners are going to love this.
Honestly, it's been such a joy for us to talk to people who actually get this. Like, it's sometimes quite hard to explain to people like what this is and how it's useful, because they haven't read the book yet, they haven't done the test, they don't know what it is.
Right.
And it's been so lovely, especially because, you know, you, Sherry, you've done this quiz and you've really sat with it and you've thought about it, reflected on how it relates to your own life. Like, I can't tell you what a gift that is to us to sit with someone who really already knows what it is and understands it and really gets it and is grateful, because it's just such a joy for us.
Thank you.
It makes me just want to keep doing this work. Like, when I speak to someone who's really got to help them.
Please do keep doing the work, because there's so many people that don't have as much hope as we would hope that they would. And I felt hope. I felt,
and that's a big motivation for doing this, is helping people to really come back to the knowing of who they are, to have hope for themselves, because that's what I see in this time, is that people are starving for choice. They're starving to know what's available to them. And so we're offering this as a way to get you back into that conversation and to get you back onto the playing field.
Oh, gosh. Would you consider coming back on sometime in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been so fun talking with you.
Absolutely.
It's been such a gift. I feel so excited now. I just want to go and be happy for the rest of the day. We love talking with kindred spirits.
If you read the book and go further into it, the both of you, then we'd love to share more. And I'm sure by that point you'll have lots of juicy questions, and we can just keep the conversation going.
I'll bring the questions from friends that are going to read all this material.
Yeah.
Actually,
sure.
What's fun for us, we really love answering questions. It sort of often brings out stuff we haven't even put in the book, or new stuff comes through. And also it's really fun for us to answer like situations where people go, well, this is happening in my family. Like, is there a terrain clash here? So that's actually also really fun. So if any of your friends have situations, they're going, what's going on here? Like that. We don't want to tell people their terrains if they haven't done the quiz, but we can give like an intuition about it, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, the quiz is the real beginning. You've got to take the quiz, and then you get that report that just lays it right out for you. Easy.
And my goal with writing the reports, because I'm the one who writes the stuff, my goal with writing the reports was that everybody, no matter where they're at on their journey, will feel good about where they're at. Like,
yes,
that was my goal. And I wrote, you know, the women, man, the pyramid report, you know, the wheel-based terrain and the radio report, with that in mind. And that was really a growth point for me, to be able to be in such empathy that someone who feels like the whole world is against them, how can I write that so that they actually feel good about where they're at? And I did. And by then it was like, geez, these people are awful.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. We'd like to thank the creators, the authors of the 10 Terrains of Consciousness, Alan David Reed and Tawny Wolf. Thank you so much for spending time with us. If you would like more info on the 10 Terrains of Consciousness, if you want to yell at us for being tinfoil hat whack jobs, or check out our new Strange Harbor merchandise, t-shirts, bags, mugs, all sorts of cool stuff, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.